Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be connected with you on this virtual platform. The Lord has blessed us so much. I'm just thinking about how blessed we are to be saved. Any hallelujahs out there? Just thankful that God saved us in spite of ourselves. If you're thankful, can you put hallelujah in the chat, some emoticons, some praise hands, just lifting up to the Lord, just thanking him for his grace and his mercy. As we get into the message today, we're still in the series Fulfilling Our Call, and we're going to talk about what it means to be made in the image of God and to walk in the likeness of God. Remember from the book of Genesis, God said, I created man in my own image, in my likeness. And I tell you, that is a wonderful thing, but it also sets a major standard for people to look at our lives. And that's why we talk about being living epistles, that we are examples of who God is. Some people may never read the scriptures before they get saved, but they can read you in a sense. They can see your character and your love. So I encourage you today to ask God to use you. I want to thank you as always for staying connected to ebcnc.com. On Mondays, we have Monday Manna at 7 o'clock on our virtual connection, different types of teaching to encourage us. Tuesday, we have our noonday Bible study where we're going through the book of Genesis. And then on Wednesdays, on that virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Luke. And we're almost finished with the book of Luke. It's amazing as God has allowed us to walk through that book week by week, line upon line, precept upon precept. And then on Thursdays in our in-person Bible study, we're studying the book of 1 Corinthians from 6 o'clock to 7 in the sanctuary. So we encourage you and we invite you, if you can, to put that on your schedule so that you can come and be with us. And then, as always, thank you for praying for our 8:45 in-person service and our 10:45 in-person service. We've already had a blessed word from Minister Jeffers today. And then at our 10:45 service, we have Minister Cinda Jones. She'll be speaking into our lives. So we just thank the Lord for the gifts that he's given to the body of Christ. I want you to continue to pray for our 10 o'clock service, this virtual connection. It is reaching so many people. Lives are being changed. As always, please, thank you. Thank you. Tell your neighbor, thank you. Thank you for your giving, your support of the ministry. God loves a cheerful giver. We really hold forth that scripture that we can purpose in our heart, that we don't have to worry about giving grudgingly or out of necessity, but we can be cheerful as we give. Why? Because God has blessed us. He has been good to us, and we can hear his voice and walk into that. And so I just thank you. Thank you for walking with us in that. Well, I am ready. I am ready to get into the word today. I believe, I know you're going to be blessed today, but I want our hearts to be prepared. We have our poet laureate of our 8:45 service, Deidre Medman. She's going to give us a poem out of her new book, and I'm just so excited that God is blessing her. Then we're going to go into a scripture and a song, and we're going to get right into the word. Be praying and get ready. We'll see you soon.
Tell you hungry for God. An overwhelming yearning is to hear God's voice, praying, meditating day and night, knowing it's the right choice. What happened years ago when that spiritual fire went away? Can't hear God speaking, sending a heart into dismay. Understanding God's word is the part is never forgotten, yet sorting through other teachings, feeling downtrodden. As for a clearer mind, stronger body and spirit, God's unconditional love and mercy, one must really feel it. God can direct his children towards spiritual love and grace. Alone time through meditation, a special quiet place. Astonished how God connects certain people that validate spiritual steps needed. Confirmations in plain view as words are planted and seeded. Hungry for God is now emotionally getting fed. What joy and desire for a path wholly led. hungry for God, so grateful for a powerful reconnection, seeking and listening daily, beaming in God's omnipotent affection, watching for bad fruit, blocking all evil and wrong, a hunger by God's reignited, even stronger where a soul belongs. This is coming from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 14. May he give you the desires and fulfill your whole purpose. Be blessed.
Good morning, church. This morning I'll be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. It says, "You then, my God, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown, except by competing according to the rules. The hand-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, this is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot disown himself." Thank you.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the
rain. Isn't that just like him, church? My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
He
gives me strength where I am weakened.
Oh,
forever he will reign. Let's say that again. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
And hide me from the rain. Oh, yes. Our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
He
gives me that strength where I've been weak. And forever he will reign. Come on, y'all, help me sing. My God.
My God is awesome.
Yes, he's awesome.
Awesome.
Come on, let me hear you. Do you believe it?
Awesome.
Sing it like you know it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Yes, he's awesome.
Awesome.
Yes, he's awesome.
Awesome.
Yes, he's awesome.
Awesome.
Verse number 2, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He's the Savior of the whole world.
Of the whole.
And he's the giver of our salvation. And by his stripes,
by
I am
his
here.
Stripes I am here.
My God is awesome.
My God is
today,
awesome.
I am forgiven.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living.
Grace is why I'm
oh, somebody
living.
Ought to praise his holy name. Come on, let me sing. My God.
My God is awesome.
Yes, he's awesome.
Awesome.
Feel free to stand up and give God some praise. He's awesome.
Awesome.
Yes, he's awesome.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Yes, he's awesome.
Awesome.
Has he been good to you?
Awesome.
Well, let's see why he's been so good to you.
Awesome.
Come on, help me say. He's mighty.
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 Awesome.
Awesome.
Come on, lift your voice and say.
Awesome.
Well, he's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
So holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
Awesome.
Awesome.
At the top, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
When I'm broke.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Oh, come on, give God some praise, His holy name.
It is so good to just be able to bless the Lord together, that we can connect with one another. We're in different places, but yet a God receives our praise together. He is an amazing God. Well, as we're back into this section of fulfilling our calling, I believe that you've been blessed. I've been blessed just really processing my calling and I'm just asking God to use me more for His service. As we've been really focusing in on that memory scripture, you know what it is, 1 Corinthians 6:19. I pray that you've been reading it aloud with me, getting it into your mind so it'll seep into your heart. So let's do that again today, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Let's read together out loud. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I'm always blessed just to know that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Before we go any further, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Would you please pray with me? Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you have made. Lord, we need to hear from you. Father, if there's anyone that's listening and viewing right now or later who is not saved, I pray that their hearts be touched, that they will cry out to you, that they will realize they need a Savior. They will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Oh, Lord, that they have a true relationship with you. Now, Lord, we just welcome your presence. Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Holy Spirit, thank you so much for being our comforter. There's so many that are going through in our church right now, but we thank you that you are a present help in a time of need. So right now, God, we rest in you. Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we get into this section of scripture, if you're with us on last Sunday, we have transitioned into the New Testament, walking through this, fulfilling our calling. Today, our focus scripture is in the book of Luke. We're going to look at the 10th chapter and the 16th verse. Luke chapter 10 and 16. It reads, "He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." I'm telling you, that's a tough scripture. Let's focus in together. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Wow, that's heavy. I want to speak from a title today, represent. Yes, represent. This word is heavy. Within my heart. And when I say that, I grew up and I was trained by my parents to always represent the family. In essence, they put in my mind and my heart, wherever I went and whoever I dealt with, the things that I said would always represent the family that I was connected with. In the same manner, it seems that in this generation, that thought pattern is being lost in so many platforms and amongst people in their thought patterns as they are just kind of going through. It's about individualism. It's about do your own thing and not really worry about or think about the group. I think that's what's happening within our political system. Remember, people used to kind of stay with their party lines, and now we've got these splinters that are going on, and our society doesn't know how to deal with that in a sense, because now it's not about the group. It's not about us coming together and reasoning together. It's these lone mavericks that are going and kind of changing things. David Rockcastle was an English professional footballer. This footballer in our states, it would be soccer player. And he made this statement about this representation. He said, remember who you are, what you are, and who you represent. I think that's powerful. Again, remember who you are, what you are, and who you represent. When we begin to embrace our calling, we really come to a point of going, you know what? I'm representing Jesus. I'm representing the Father and the Son in our lives. And we realize that the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in us is so crucial. Just a little history background to get us into the scripture. Jesus has done so many teachings. He's also manifested some miracles at this time. The time frame is about 32 AD. Within that previous chapters, he's talked about the cost of discipleship. There is a cost as we are walking with in our calling. You know, every day is not going to be a great day. There are going to be some challenges to our faith, but that's when we can truly lean in to the Lord. Here, as we go into this section of scripture, it is actually a unique section of scripture. To the book of Luke, we don't find it in any other gospels. We're dealing with the sending out of the 70. Just transition Luke 6:62. It says, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's a great transition to get us to this section, because this is what is when God sends us out, that fulfillment of our calling, we must understand that it's all about him. We need to represent. Luke 10:1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Can you put in the chat 70? I want you to think about that. Here he says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. It said earlier, this is significant, only found in the book of Luke that he actually sends them out. Now, the other gospel writers, they witnessed this, but this is a special time of sending out the 70. Here's the first point. Encouragement. Yes, encouragement. That's good. Some of you might think, thank God for encouragement. As we think about these 70 disciples, there's a principle that God is using here. He commissions them and he sends them out two by two. Yes, he sends them out to the south, and he's actually wants them to follow the same route that he's going to make to Jerusalem. And basically, they are carrying the message of Christ, the Messiah, the kingdom. Their calling is so profound at this point because they are representing Jesus. Jesus is not physically there, but they are representing him. We need to find someone with a similar callings as Christians, and we need to be encouraged. That's why the scriptures are clear and says, forsake not the fellowship of the saints. We need encouragement. If you can connect with someone that has a similar calling than you do, that's also blessing to you, simply because where they're going through, you can see that. And when you're going through, they can be there to encourage you. King Solomon really sums up this principle that the 70 we're dealing with, this two by two, Ecclesiastes 4:9-2. Are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Look at this, Ecclesiastes 4:11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Represent. So these 70 are sent out. They're to represent Jesus, represent the kingdom two by two. Look at Luke 10:2. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." Can you in the chat just put few, F-E-W? I want you to think about that. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Here's the point, the harvest. Yes, the harvest. I'm just kind of processing it every day in my prayers. I pray in essence, Lord, send laborers. You know, I pray for the missionaries and I pray for the evangelists, those who are out on the front lines. In a sense, we need to pray because the harvest is huge. Can't you see it? There is so much darkness. There are so many people that need to know about Jesus Christ. Don't just assume because people were in church, it seems like they're less and less that actually were brought up in church or someone that talks about scripture that they actually know who Jesus is. We must represent who he is. Look at this, Luke 10:2. Then he said to them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few." It seems that so often that when we look around, it doesn't matter how big a group that you're connected with, church, it's always a few that are kind of working and carrying the good news. In the same, it says that we meet a passerby every now and then. Anybody feel that at times? Thank God for our Christian brothers and sisters that we have and the fellowship that we have. But even with those connections, sometimes it can feel like that we're all by ourselves. The Lord wants to help us as we walk in our calling. We need to represent him. God wants to use you in a magnificent way to touch the lives of others. That should bless you just to think that in spite of ourselves, in spite of our struggles, in spite of our mess ups, God still wants to use us. Jesus states in Matthew 9:36, this same thought pattern. He says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." Do you see that in our society? It seems like so many are just find themselves just kind of going this way and that way. They don't have any focus. It's like they're looking for leaders. Sadly, leaders are stepping up, but these are ungodly leaders. These are people that don't care about morality. And so many are being sucked into a lifestyle of recklessness. But look at Matthew 9:37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly," here it is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God wants us to represent him as he's sending out this group of individuals there to represent him. But as we're in our society of today, we represent Jesus the Christ. Look at Luke 10:3. "Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." Here's the point. There will be opposition. Yes, there will be opposition. We must never forget the enemy has a job. Yes, he has a job and he is doing it well. Do we see it in our world now? He is stealing, killing, and destroying. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But the Lord says, "I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." That's good news. Even though the enemy is throwing everything he can throw at us, the enemy knows that he doesn't have much longer. And so he is stepping up his attack. We see it in the United States of America. We see it in Russia. We see it in Ukraine. We see it in Japan. We see it all over the face of the earth that the enemy and his demonic influence are stepping up their attacks. As we represent, we must never forget what the Lord has put forth in his scriptures in Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conduct be without covenants. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said," here it is, "I will never," can you put in the chat, never, never, as you're sitting sitting in your living rooms or on breaks, they never leave you nor forsake you. As we're representing, we've got to keep in our minds that God will always be with us in spite of how we feel, in spite of our struggle, in spite of the tears that may come down our face. I love that when weeping may endure for a night. Any witnesses? I love the end part of that. But joy comes in the morning. Wherever you find yourself right now, know that God is faithful. Represent who he is. Look at Luke 10:4. Jesus goes on and he lays out some directives in this process to do as they're being sent out, this 2x2, this 70. He says, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. Can you put in the chat, say peace, peace, peace to this house? I love you. I when I was in the 80s and 90s, you would greet people, you would go, peace, you know, what's up, man, peace. It seems to be recirculating back around within our generation, but this was a common greeting, peace. Luke 10:6, it says, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Here's the point. I love this one. God will provide. Yes, God will provide. As we're walking in our callings, and I believe these callings, as we talked about on last Sunday, have many facets. But this calling, we don't lay them down. This is 24 hours, 7 days a week. This is who we are. This is the seed, the treasure that God has put on the inside of us. We've got to know, as we're representing God, he provides for us. It's so comforting to know that he takes care of his own. I remember when I was in the military, it was a tough time going through basic training and making that whole process, but I loved it. When we were in our basic training and then I got into tech school, man, the military, they took care of me. Man, they fed me. And as a young man, and I love to eat. Some of you like, I still love to eat. But in this process, I was growing. I was burning so many calories, working out, all those things that were going on. But the military made sure that I had 3-4 meals and snacks. They took care of me because I was representing who they were. Anytime they could call me and send me around the world, but they made sure that I was taken care of so I could stay strong to be used by them. God knows our hearts and he knows what we have need of before we even ask. Look at this, Luke 10:4. He tells them, carry neither money bag or knapsack or sandals and greet no one along the road, but whatever house you enter in, we talked about that, peace to this house. When we represent God, we carry peace with us. Yes, the atmosphere should change when we come into the room. If there is confusion, if there is struggle, we should not be adding to that. We should be diminishing that. On our job, some of you are complaining about your job and your situation. You're like, God, move me from this. There's so much confusion there. But have you ever thought, if we represent, if we walk in our calling, why wouldn't God put us in a situation like that? Because he knows by using us, that situation can be turned around. You never know who is looking at you as we're walking as living epistles, as we are fulfilling our calling, and they'll be touched by the power of God. We've got to represent. Look at Luke 10:6. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Others will be blessed because you're representing God. Yes, and when you understand that God provides, look at Luke 10:9. I love this. Don't miss this one. And heal the sick there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Now, this is a wonderful benefit. God providing. See, when you really grasp your calling, God is actually producing health in you to fulfill that calling. It doesn't matter if you have a handicap. It doesn't matter if you're an asthmatic or whatever. You're like, God, I want you to heal me. He can. I know him as a healer. We've seen miracle after miracle at Ebenezer, but I also know a God that can sustain you in the midst of your issue. I also know a God that Paul the Apostle said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I also know a God that can take your handicap, at least what the world says that you have, and it can actually be an asset, a benefit to help somebody else. Some years ago, we had a young man, Mr. Richie, to come to our church, and he did not have any arms. And he was a wonderful, powerful preacher. What really astounded me, him not having arms was actually an asset. He could do stuff that I couldn't do. When he came to our church, he was driving a car. I know some of you are like, how in the world can a man drive with no arms? Well, Mr. Richie did it. Yes, he did. He had flexible feet, and he put his feet on the steering wheel, and he drove up to Ebenezer. When he left Ebenezer, he drove off with his feet. I dare say none of you can drive with your feet. And so I went out to dinner with him, and I was like, man, this is going to be crazy. I don't know how this is going to go. Do you know that he actually reached to the fork with his feet, and he began to eat and feed himself? See, his handicap became a benefit. He could do stuff other folks couldn't do. He was able to represent God even without arms. This is critical here. This healing process in James 5:14 gives us some understanding. It says, if anyone's sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. We're representing, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. When we're representing, we love to pray. I think we need to stop talking so much and say, you know what, brother, let's pray together. I'm finding that is an asset that we have as we're representing him. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. There ought to be some shouts of praise to know that God is a provider. Look at Luke 10:10. Represent. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But can you put in the chat, but I'm telling you, Jesus is going to bring it home here. I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for this city. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. I told you, those are some heavy words. Here's the point. Not everyone will receive your call. Yes, not everyone will receive your call. Jesus makes a powerful statement in Matthew 22:14. Please get this one. For many are called, but few are chosen. Can I say that again? Many are called, but few are chosen. That's why we must represent. So many have been called, but few are chosen. We've got to realize that as we are been chosen, everybody's not going to receive our call. When you're walking in your calling, you've got to have the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding. You got to know that you know that you know that you know the man from Galilee. You got to know that you know that you know that you are saved and been delivered and set free. The 70 would be sent to places that would not receive the divine providence of God that was upon their lives. They were going to have to go to some houses that was going to shut the doors in their faces. They were going to have to go to some people that did not want to hear it and would walk away. And sometimes they would be challenged because they would come at them and they would not recognize that God's faithfulness and power is upon their lives. But still, they had to realize, we have to represent. The disciples could not afford to take it personally. I hope you heard that. Can you put in the chat? I need a quick chat, a tab to say personally, personally. You can't afford to take stuff personally. When you're representing God, you've got to realize I am a representative. I am an ambassador of the Lord. Therefore, whatever you say to me, you're saying to my God, I can't take it personal because I know my God is always with me. Remember, as we're carrying this power of God, we are actually witnessing of the Lord and what he's doing in our lives. And also, we're being used to impact others that are around us. In this scripture, Jesus actually laments about a lot, has a lot of woes about a lot of things within this. But there's one place I want to pull out. It was Capernaum. Capernaum actually became the hometown of Jesus when he moved from Nazareth. And he's saying that this place had the heavenly blessings upon it, but it despised its most notable citizen. You know his name? Jesus. They despised the Christ, the anointed one. And he said, because of this, judgment is going to come upon you. He even brings up this Hades process. We have to represent and understand that even though our callings are challenged, that people may reject us, that people still are going to be held accountable. There ought to be some amens in the house. See, all we are we responsible? We just deliver the mail. Yes, yes, I love our male men and our male women, our persons that are delivering the mail to me, because I realize something. Their job is just to get the paper to my house. Yes, their job is not to open up the letter and read it to me. Their job is not to write all my letters per se, but their job is to go from one place to another, make sure it gets to my house, and in there, their job is not even the job of standing there and making sure that I open my mail or pull my mail out, but they're just mailmen, mailwomen, persons that are delivering the mail, and that's what we are. We represent the Most High God. I'm not responsible for you opening up this mail, but I am responsible for getting it to your house and putting it in the mailbox. Please, even though people are rejecting us, accountability standards are still there. I remember when I was in Chapel Hill, I went there, UNC Chapel Hill, graduated, and in that process, we went to a church. It was called the Lord Church. Some of you may know that. It's kind of splintered over the years, but in this Lord Church, our pastor, he was a pit preacher, and all those who wanted to be in leadership and pastoralship or evangelism were kind of required to be in the pit. What is a pit preacher? Well, on UNC Chapel Hill's campus, in the middle of it, there was a place where eateries were, and there was this concrete place, and it had a pit. It was built in a pit. A tree came out of it, and our pastor, he would go down into that pit. He would have a Bible. He had this thin line Bible, and he would. I wondered why it was he would do it, but he would walk down in that pit, and before he actually got down, he would throw his Bible in the pit, so he would actually walk down there and get his Bible. When he got his Bible, he would stand up, and he would begin to preach and teach the students that were around. Oftentimes, it'd be very interactive because with college students, we thought we knew so much. We were so smart, and they would challenge my pastor, and he would come back with things trying to be led of the Holy Spirit, and he would preach. There was some time that nobody would come up to him, but he would preach the word of God some 15, 20 minutes. And yes, I had an opportunity to be a part of that at games. I would stand at the fence, and we would preach and give out tracts. And I remember being so self-conscious about that. I was scared and nervous, and I would think, what are the people thinking about me? But I've grown in the Lord now, and I realized it did not matter what they were thinking about me. I was a representative of the Most High God. Later on, I found out with our pastor, he's gone on to be with the Lord. The reason he threw his Bible, he was scared too. And so he thought in that whole pattern, if I throw my Bible, I got to go get it. And since I've already gotten into the pit to get my Bible, I may as well say a word for the Lord. I'm so glad that God uses us in spite of ourselves. There ought to be some praise and worshipers saying, use me, Lord, for your service. Look at Luke 10:16. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. Final point. The Lord has our backs. Yes, the Lord has our backs. I just want to share something with you. Growing up, I just had my sister. She's about 7 years difference in our age group. I was the older brother. But in school, I always was a bit jealous of the boys, especially that had brothers. Yeah, they had brothers, especially if they were older brothers to them. And these younger brothers that I was around, they always seemed to have more confidence. And I equated it to the fact that they had a brother. They realized if they got in a skirmish, if they got into a situation, if they got into an argument that they couldn't handle, that they could actually call their big brother and he would be there. He would actually have their back. And I'm thinking about in life, I realized even at that point, God was saying, you don't need an older brother. I have your back. I'll never leave you. We learned that earlier within the lesson. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But we must walk in our calling and represent the Lord and know that he has our back. I come to the point of believing that every situation is too big for us. We've got to understand that all things are possible with the Lord. When we start depending on our smarts and our intelligence and we try to argue who God is, we miss the path. But what we need to do is rest in the Holy Spirit and know that God is the one that can stamp on our hearts the word. He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll give it to you at that appointed time. Scott Marks about this whole process of God having our backs. He said, to reject an ambassador or to treat him with contempt is an affront to the prince who commissioned and sent him. And whom he represents, the apostles and the 70 disciples were the ambassadors and representatives of Christ. And they who rejected and despised them, in fact, rejected and despised him. I am telling you to know that we are representatives of the Lord. We are ambassadors of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I am telling you today, it is so good to know that God wants us to represent, and he's given us everything that we need to walk out his calling in our lives. We have a mandate on our lives from the Lord who has saved us and delivered us, that we have been bought with a price. I'm so glad that he's calling us to carry the good news to our neighbors and our co-workers and our families and our friends. Jesus was the ultimate example of representing the Father that was in heaven. In John 10:30, he said it like this, I and my Father are one. He goes on to John 10:38 and says, but if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Aren't you glad for a Christ that represented the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all together in the Garden of Gethsemane? As he's crying out for you and he's crying out for me, we see him in the garden coming to that third conclusion and saying, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. There ought to be some praise and worshipers right now. You know the end of the story. Yes, he's betrayed by Judas Iscariot, but he still represents. He does not lose his cool, but he speaks to Judas and he leans over and he says, Judas, do what you have to do. Just do it quickly. Aren't you glad that he goes down the Via Dolorosa where they spit at him and they beat him throughout the day? But I'm so glad he didn't lose his representation. But there he goes to the cross of Calvary. He cries out to the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There he carries our sins and bears our griefs on that cross. He is the representative of the Father. For a brief time, he cries out, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Then he cries out, it's finished, and drops his head in the locks of his shoulder. There he put him in a cold grave. There ought to be some folks that say, I know the end of the story. Yes, 3 days later, he's in that grave, but on the third day, he gets up with all power and all glory. He is our representative, and now he's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and guess what? He's interceding for us so that we can know he has put his anointing and his power upon us. Yes, we are his representatives. in this earth. God wants to use us for his glory. Look at that Luke 10:16 again. And he who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. What's your choice? Are you ready to represent him? First step, if you don't know him, I want you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and the scriptures say you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Cry out to him. Oh, he will make you his representative. For the saints today, it is time for us to step up. It's past time for us to step up. As we see this dark world, as we see our political society just crumbling right in front of us, as we see inflationary issues that are going up, when we see gas prices that are vacillating so much, I'm telling you, signs of the time are before us, and God wants us to represent. So I pray that today you go, God, use me, help me to understand my calling, that I can walk closer to you. Saints, God has been faithful to us, and he is the only one that can keep us as we represent who he is. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for this body of Christ, this virtual connection, Lord, that we can speak of you. We can represent who you are, Father God, even as we're on our Facebooks and our X accounts, Lord, and our Snapchats. We can actually represent you, Lord. Help us when we're on our jobs. Help us when we're in the grocery store, when we're driving our cars, to represent you, Lord. Thank you for this golden opportunity to be used in a wonderful and deliberate way. Lord, have your way in our lives. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I'm told. I didn't have no doubt.
No doubt.
I knew that the Lord would bring me out.
Amen.
Got down on my
knees.
Said, Lord, help me, please. Got up singing, shouting, victory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Victory is mine.
Victory.
Victory is mine.
Victory. You know that joy is mine, joy is mine, joy today is mine.
I told Satan,
get thee behind, joy today is mine, happiness is mine.
Happiness is mine.
I didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees, said, Lord, help me, please. Got up singing, shouting, victory. Victory, victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Victory
today is mine. I told
Satan,
get thee behind. Anybody got victory this morning?
Victory.
Did the Lord get you up?
Victory.
He brought you out this far. Everybody came on their own account. Did nobody make you come to church this morning? We all have the victory. Some people have victory over sickness. Some people have victory over financial issues. We have victory this morning.